Hello, Gallatin Valley. You are listening to KGVM, Bozeman Community Radio at 95.9 FM. I'm Roxana, and this is Desert Oracle Radio Replay. This week, we have a vintage Desert Oracle Radio episode for you to ponder. This is one of my favorites because it includes mysterious lights and a carnivorous little rodent. But before we get to that, let's catch up. Hey, were you able to get to any of the Earth Day events in Bozeman last weekend? There was so much going on. The Big Sky Wind Drinkers had a 5K fun run at the Gallatin Regional Park, God bless them, and there were so many groups that had tables and information in the ballroom of the Emerson. I stopped by and visited with several of them, including Sacagawea Audubon, Valley of Flowers Native Plant Society, Wild Montana, and Montana Wildlife Federation, and even a compost company. I came home with lots of new information and a couple packets of native seeds for flowers to come this summer. If you've never gone to one of these events, try to get there next Earth Day, okay? My mood and heart have been lifted out of the winter blues as the snow cover melts, and today, as I put this together, we even had rain instead of snow. So flood season is upon us. An elder friend of mine years ago told me her dad taught her that when wild roses bloom, flooding season is over. We are a ways from wild rose blooming time, so be careful out there. As they say these days, if you see water flowing across the road ahead, turn around, don't drown. And remember to be kind to our trails. Wear your waterproof hikers and stay on the trail. Don't go around it to avoid mud. Love the mud, but don't tread on the plants coming up next to it. The summer flowers will thank you. Better yet, find a dry trail. Bear Trap Canyon or some trails like Buffalo Jump State Park or Headwater State Park along the Gallatin offer some options. The Forest Service office in town offers some great early season hiking suggestions. Pay them a visit at 3710 Fallon Street, Suite C in Bozeman. Well, it's time for this week's Desert Oracle Radio episode. It was produced July 14, 2017 by Ken Lane with this description. October 7, 1965. All through the night, baffling lights and unknown craft bedeviled pilots and control tower crew at the famed Mojave Desert Wright Stuff Air Force Base. And it's all on tape. The title is Encounter at Edwards Air Force Base. Enjoy.
Transmitting from the Mojave Wilderness in Joshua Tree, California, now is the time for Desert Oracle Radio, the voice of the desert.
Night has fallen on the Mojave once again, and night is the most interesting part of the day in the desert, very much so in the summer, when most wild animals are at rest in cool underground burrows. Humans, horseflies, ravens, roadrunners, the occasional brain-fried coyote. That's the kind of animal foolish enough to be out in the heat of the day. You look at a seemingly barren desert landscape like the Kelso Sand Dunes in Mojave National Preserve. Now that place comes to life in the night. Fringe toad lizards, kangaroo rats, sidewinders, and kit fox. you take a walk through a Joshua Tree woodland at dusk and return in the morning, you'll find whole highways of tracks. Herds of mule deer and bighorn, the wandering, heavier prints of the coyote and the mountain lion and the bobcat, the rope-shaped tracks of rattlers and gopher snakes on the hunt. Look in a dry wash and try to find a sandy spot without tracks. Especially the tiny marks left by deer, mice, and beetles, centipedes, and scorpions. I want to tell you about the most desert of desert animals. A life form so insane it hardly seems real. It prowls by night, it howls like a high-pitched wolf. And it mostly eats centipedes and scorpions. I'm talking about the fierce rodent we call the grasshopper mouse. It's about 4 inches of pure nocturnal terror, not including its long tail. These New World killers don't just eat scorpions, they eat the stingers. They eat the stingers first. And the scorpion venom doesn't bother them. In fact, they get high from it. They love it. Just a couple of years ago, in 2013, a study found that the most potent scorpion venom, that of the tiny bark scorpion, was transubstantiated by the grasshopper mouse into a painkiller. The research paper, Voltage-Gated Sodium Channel in Grasshopper Mice Defends Against Bark Scorpion Toxin, was published in the journal Science and written by Ashley Rowe and her team at the University of Texas at Austin. Look it up. Now, other things come out at night, too. On a spring night in 2016, a man was driving southwest from Pahrump, Nevada, headed toward 29 Palms. He had planned to stay in Pahrump or Shoshone, but he hadn't made a reservation because he hadn't known that every room in the area was booked for a foot race, a 120-mile relay race of some kind, and almost all the runners were cops. So, he refilled his coffee at a truck stop and he headed home, which wasn't really all that far, and it was a pleasant night for taking the Mojave back roads. After crossing Route 66 and the railroad tracks, he was driving at a leisurely 62 miles per hour or so on cruise control, because there are sometimes highway patrolmen hiding by the salt evaporation ponds run by Amboy's National Chloride Company. Now, Amboy was founded by salt miners on Bristol Dry Lake back in 1858. And that's the sodium chloride that we use to keep the ice off the roads in the Sierra. So, he continues up the grade towards the Sheephole Mountain and Cleghorn Lakes wilderness areas. Nobody ahead and nobody behind. A clear night and a nearly full moon. And then in the rear view, he sees headlights. And this guy, because if it's somebody racing himself in a Dodge Charger or souped-up Honda or whatever at 1 a.m., it's a guy. Well, he must be doing 120 because that grade is 14 miles long, and here comes this jackass racing up behind, and then he's tailgating, of course, and he won't pass even though there's not another car anywhere in either direction. So our driver taps the brakes a couple of times to show his displeasure, and still being blinded by this cretin's high beams, he slows to about 45, 35. Finally, disgusted, he comes to a complete stop in the road. And he turns around just in time to watch the piercing white lights rapidly retreat miles down the grade and then come to a sudden stop and then blink off entirely. The driver was still in that frame of mind so common to Americans behind the wheel, which is simmering road rage. And it was only as he crossed Wonder Valley that the absolute weirdness of the situation settled in. Was there even another car at all? The only thing he saw was a pair of bright lights that followed and harassed him between the salt ponds and the summit on Amboy Road. even when he turned around to face the car that was now apparently stopped right behind him in the southbound lane, he didn't see a car. Just those lights, those infuriating lights, which retreated at a ridiculous speed and then simply went out. A car, it halfway occurred to him, would probably have turned around or passed him. Or the driver would have gotten out and blasted a hole through his head with a sawed-off shotgun. That's the kind of thing that's a legitimate concern when you encounter some unhinged nut job in the middle of the night on an empty road in the Mojave Desert. That very concern, in fact, is what killed off any ideas about driving back down the grade to see what, if anything, was now several miles away and unlit. Well, that whole tale is true. At least that's how I remember it. I was the one planning to stay in Pahrump that night, because I was up there that day hiking through the wildflowers. It was the end of the Death Valley super bloom of the spring of 16, and even the tail end of that display was incredible and well worth the drive. We classify and organize our memories automatically. Think of your parents and you'll think of the places where you grew up. Think about different jobs you've had and you'll see the faces of the people that you worked with, for good or ill. I had put this particular memory into an automatically created folder titled Encounters with Various Desert Creeps and Criminals. Like when a guy tries to get into your car while you're pumping gas in Ridgecrest at night. Or people in the motel room next to you in Victorville are apparently discussing burying a body, that kind of thing. Weird lights have harassed travelers on lonesome roads for thousands of years. People used to call them spook lights or will-o'-the-wisp. There are famous ghost lights in West Texas and in the desert outside of Marfa. And then there's the Minmin lights. The Minmin lights in the Australian desert, named for the old Hotel Minmin. In John Milton's time, the English called them friar's lanterns. And in the southwestern backcountry of our own era, some of us think that common human drivers with apparently magical abilities are behind these lights, while others go right to the UFO reporting site. Scientists have studied the lights too, and have come up with suggested solutions, including electricity and geologic movement forming plasma balls that don't just hover, but appear to act with intelligence, even malice. The strange things that happen to us, especially the strange things that happen to us in the quiet of the desert, seem ready for whatever explanation that first comes to mind. There was a minor official in a minor province of the Roman Empire some years back, traveling with companions to Damascus, capital of war-torn Syria today. As Luke writes in the Acts of the Apostles, as he neared Damascus on his journey, suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. He fell to the ground. A blinding light. One of those rare and powerful and purposeful beams of light that we are told strike certain individuals at key moments in their life. Tesla as a child in the Balkans. Philip K. Dick in Fullerton. Bob Dylan at home in Malibu. Merle Haggard in a small plane over Point Conception. Joan of Arc, St. Catherine. Saul had been busy trying to break up a new cult in Jerusalem that had attracted the local rabble. The same way the cops busted up Occupy Wall Street. It's what the boss always wants. Keep things calm, root out the troublemakers, law and order. And we are told that Saul was on his way to Damascus to hunt down the remnants of this Jerusalem cult in the Syrian synagogues. And Saul had never known the martyr that these followers now called their Lord. But when his mind filled with an internal voice that seemed to be coming from the blinding beams of light on this desert highway, he suddenly believed it was the spirit of this preacher executed by the empire. Saul converted to the new faith then and there because he saw weird lights in the desert. The global religion that he established is still being practiced today, some 2,000 years later. Writing under his new name, Paul, Saul wrote the defining books and letters of Christianity, which for many centuries was the key philosophy of the entire Western world. You never know what's going to happen on a lonesome desert highway. Friends, are you tired of waking up in the middle of the night in a cold sweat, wondering where you're going and how you got there? Are you sick of going to a job you don't even enjoy, only to worry all the time about being laid off and replaced by a robot or a few lines of computer code? It may be time to ditch the whole nightmare and move to the desert. Sure, there's not much in the way of restaurants, and the houses are ugly, and summer is intolerable, and there's no Uber. But the desert itself is a fine environment for the contemplative mind. Whether you'd like to move to Joshua Tree or Marfa, Moab or Bisbee, the truth is you're going to have to learn about the desert, the bizarre history, the shocking geology, the strange and spiky plants, the amazing wildlife, and of course the various mysteries that plague the desert the way lack of parking and reliable public transportation plagues your city. You will need to subscribe to the Desert Oracle, the quarterly publication about the wonders and secrets of America's vast desert wilderness and the interesting little communities found within. Send just $25 by check or money order to Desert Oracle, Post Office Box 1735, Joshua Tree, California, or subscribe online at desertoracle.com. That's Desert Oracle, Post Office Box 1735, Joshua Tree, California. You'll receive four delightful pocket-sized issues of America's only print magazine that is only about the American desert. Edwards Air Force Base covers an immense dry lake bed in the western Mojave. This is where the Wright Stuff pilots became legends. And this is where rocket planes were tested and where the space shuttle often landed. On the night of October 7th, 1965, something happened at Edwards. And because of the nature of what was happening, conversations in the Edwards Tower were tape-recorded, along with radio and telephone conversations between pilots and air traffic control towers from Phoenix to Las Vegas to Los Angeles International.
From Ontario International.
Would you?
I'm north of Ontario.
Okay. We're not positive. This is coming from George.
How far on here? Let's go.
Did he come from the northeast?
Yes.
No, he came from the northeast. Meaning these guys at 8,000 people. There are about seven of them. They're red, white, and green flashing lights. They have been sighted visually.
Oh.
And they're climbing now. And we wonder if you're making them.
We're trying to get a cross section here.
They're red, or that thing.
Also, the two towers, George Tower. Also, Edwards Tower.
We wonder.
Savage for me.
Yeah, sure. Okay. As near as I watched it, looked at through the glasses, and it, at first appearance, it looked just like a star.
Yeah.
And then it started, it was white and green. It's flashing white and green. And on what appears might be the bottom.
Edwards is observing them from the ground. Two towers observing them, and we're kind of on height and radar.
Look to the north, I look at one coming pretty fast. I can basically see his movement. And he's coming from north to south.
North to south?
Right.
North to south at this time from Edwards?
Right, he's blinking red.
I have another red light and green light combination in sight, moving very rapidly over the field at this time. I'm going to check on my RAPCON to see if they have any movement in that area.
Phoenix ASO.
ASO Lance here. Say, have you all had any reports of unknown flying objects over there?
For nearly 5 hours, up to a dozen objects zoomed around this desert airbase. A UFO officer was pulled out of bed to authorize a scramble, and the order was given to record the incident using spare tracks on the radar archive tapes. Some of these recordings were eventually released to the public.
Okay, they finally got Captain Lance, UFO Officer Edwards, our lieutenant, and he said yes, he would like to have a look. We're getting plenty of live data as visuals on these things, about 40 miles south of Edwards, several of them running in the altitude, the ones we're measuring, from 4.5 to 6.6. One of the telephone people that worked here knew about this deal last night, and he was leaving about this UFO report. And he was there. Well, this fellow went into a restaurant in Lancaster this morning, and apparently he knew the waitress in there, and he hadn't missed anything at all about this UFO thing. And she was telling about a guy that came in there last night, all shook up. Said he was on the highway between Victorville and Lancaster. It's roughly about 20 miles east of Palmdale here on 138. And he said this bright red object, he saw it kind of hovering. All of a sudden it made a pass right down over his car and right across the highway, and said it paralleled the highway for quite a while and then just took off, and it like scared him to death. He thought it was going to hit the car.
Holy mackerel.
Alvalino. Roger, this is clean again, WDDS and Tech 3. Listen, on this bird is taking off. It's not a hot bird, right?
No, he's cold.
Yeah, he's cold and he's not loaded, right?
No, he's not loaded.
I want to jump there, Chris.
Okay, is he aware of now what he's going to be doing and everything? How pleased is he?
he didn't say too much.
Yeah.
236.
Okay, Edwards Tower?
Yes, sir.
WD. Okay, Alpha Lima 01 is now bearing about 19.
15.
You
have him in sight.
Yes.
Edwards, do you still have any of these UFOPs in sight?
Yes.
Okay, try to pick out one you want us to intercept, and we'll take a 0-1 in on him.
Have him proceed.
Okay.
He appears to be going north-north now. Have him come right down the runway. 04.
Stop with 01. Would you turn your running lights on?
Yes.
Roger, 01. Turn your lights on.
I'm sure.
Right. Stop with 01. Starboard 360.
Moving hard at all.
They did?
They watched him for 30 minutes.
And they didn't move at all. And all of a sudden, boom.
Really? Where are they?
Don't know.
Little green men.
Nobody has ever intercepted these things yet.
Let's call them a pilot and come home.
Because?
They need a special pilot solution.
Well, his whole thing, he said, he's a senior director of him.
I guess those things turn hostile because they haven't done anything yet.
Yeah.
Well, it's interesting to see what's going to happen when he goes up and takes a look at them.
Alpha Lima.
Roger, between WD Tech 3. Alpha Lima 01, getting close.
He's cranked up, but I think we hit a snag here.
Oh, goodness.
We're checking on it right now. I'll let you know.
Oh, okay, right.
All of them appear now that the red light has stopped, and they all appear to be heading up altitude rapidly.
Is that right?
Yeah.
I'll go out and watch that bright when it gets down.
Okay, sir. There's three more of them.
During this outrage at Edwards Air Force Base, there were 700 top aerospace engineers on base for a two-day conference. You can hear the entirety of that recording. We have a link at our website, desertoracle.com, click radio, or you can look it up at archive.org. Now, if you see something in the night sky, experts suggest that you first rule out any other possibility before you think it's anything weird. Could it be an airplane, a helicopter, a bird, a Mylar birthday balloon with Garfield on it, a satellite, the International Space Station, the planet Venus, or lately, the planet Jupiter? Make sure you're not mentally or visually impaired. Take off your sunglasses, put down the beer, but watch the skies. We have something interesting coming up in Palm Springs at the Ace Hotel and Swim Club. Desert Oracle Campfire Stories. The first one will be on the first Thursday of August. That's August 3rd, 7:30 p.m. Come on down, gather around the fire pit, and we're going to tell stories about Yucca Man, lost mines, missing tourists, shallow graves. And we'll have a preview of these campfire stories on the next program. The cowboy writer Zane Grey in 1910 published his novel, The Heritage of the Desert. The book is 107 years old, but there are some good lines within it. So the desert trained each of its wild things to survive. No eye of the desert but burned with the flame of the sun. To kill or to escape death, that was the dominant motive. To fight barrenness and heat, that was stern enough. But each creature must also fight his fellow. You can listen to all of our past episodes, and you can subscribe to the podcast of the broadcast at iTunes, Stitcher, or at Google Play. If there's something you need to tell us, if there's something you'd like to hear on the show, you can write to us. The email address is radio@desertoracle.com. And when you're in the high desert, tune your FM dial to 107.7. That's KCDZ in Joshua Tree, Yucca Valley, 29 Palms, Wonder Valley, Flamingo Heights, Amboy, Two's Isaacs, and all across the Mojave Wilderness. Good night from the voice of the desert.
One thing Ken did not include was what that grasshopper mouse howl sounds like. I was curious and found a short video from Nat Geo Wild that reviews some of the facts about the mouse and ends with the howl. For now, here is the audio.
In the middle of the Sonoran Desert, this mother grasshopper mouse tends to her pups. While tiny and adorable, don't be mistaken. This is not your common house mouse. From the day they are born, these mice are natural killers. Insects, lizards, scorpions, and even other mice are all on the menu. This mouse is distinguished from most other rodents in its reliance on a meat-based diet. It regularly takes on prey as large or larger than itself. Making the grasshopper mouse even more of a standout is its immunity to scorpion venom. Not only can it withstand the typically deadly stings, its body has adapted to convert the toxins into a painkiller. After a scorpion, a giant centipede might seem easy. However, these centipedes are venomous. A pocket mouse has already fallen victim to its toxins. The grasshopper mouse isn't intimidated. This time, the trick up its sleeve isn't immunity, but agility. It uses its quick reflexes to avoid the venom from the centipede's fangs. Before it enjoys another fresh kill, the mouse proclaims its territory by howling. The mouse throws its head back and lets out a high-pitched cry into the night sky, giving it the nickname of Werewolf Mouse.
Oh, and by the way, the grasshopper mouse is native to Montana, as well as centipedes and the northern scorpion. Keep your ears open next time you are camping. Maybe you will be lucky enough to hear the little beast. Well, last week I invited you to leave me a message at 406-404-6246. And though I love the sound of silence, I do not prefer it in my voicemail. I'd much rather hear something from you, so give me a call. If you let me know what you'd like to talk about, I will do my best to work it into the show. You don't even have to leave your name, or you can make one up. Make your voice heard. Be bold. 406-404-6246. Gallatin Valley, thank you for listening. You'll hear me Sundays at 7 p.m. and a rebroadcast Monday morning at 9 right here on KGVM Bozeman 95.9 FM. Until then, sweet dreams and stay well, Gallatin Valley.
Searching all of my days, all of my days. Many a road, you know, I've been walking on, all of my days. And I've been trying to find what's been in my mind. As the days keep turning into night, well, I have been quietly standing in the shade all of my days. Watch the sky breaking on the promise that we made, all of this rain. I've been trying to find what's been in my mind as the days keep turning into night. Many a night I found myself with no friend standing near. All of my days I cried aloud, I shook my hands at what I'm doing here. All of these days, for I look around me and my eyes confound me, and it's just too bright as the days keep turning into night. Feel this loneliness no more, all of my days. For I look around me and it seems you found me, and it's coming into sight as the days keep turning into night. As the days keep turning into night. even breathing.